This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Who's fueling the surge in shares of Donald Trump's SPAC?
It's just like GameStop. We see some fireworks, and that euphoria is back. We're seeing the same meme stock craze, but this time with a touch of politics mixed in.
And at least 40 people were killed in an attack at a concert venue outside Moscow. Plus, Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, is being treated for cancer. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. We start with a developing story. In Russia, authorities say explosions rocked a concert hall just outside Moscow, and gunmen opened fire on concertgoers Friday evening, killing at least 40 people. The Federal Security Service said more than 100 others have been injured. Authorities are investigating the incident as a terrorist attack. For more on this developing story, head to WSJ.com. Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, says she's being treated for cancer. Since she underwent abdominal surgery in January, her absence from royal events has fueled concerns and rampant online speculation about her health. Today, she did not reveal what type of cancer, but said she was in the early stages of preventive chemotherapy.
We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery.
The announcement comes at a challenging time for the British royal family. King Charles III is also battling the disease. House lawmakers have narrowly approved a $1.2 trillion package of bills in the hopes of averting a partial government shutdown at midnight. The measures would approve funding for the Defense Department and several other federal agencies for the rest of the fiscal year, wrapping up a lengthy and contentious process that's brought the federal government to the brink of shutdown several times since late last year. Congressional reporter Katie Stetch-Ferrick says the bill's now in the Senate's hands.
This morning, a big piece of the puzzle was settled when House lawmakers passed this bill. It was incredibly narrow. It really came down to the wire. More Republicans voted against the bill than for the bill. And that was a big signal to Speaker Johnson that a lot of Republicans are unhappy about the lack of conservative wins that they feel that he was able to secure. Speaker Johnson's in a tough position. He doesn't have a ton of leverage with the Democrat-controlled Senate and President Biden. The bill will head over to the Senate for a vote. And the good news is, it appears that there are enough votes to pass the legislation into law. The question mark that we have is whether or not they can do it in time.
If the Senate doesn't approve the bill before midnight, Katie says there could be a limited shutdown on the weekend, but that would likely have a minimal impact. Coming up, Donald Trump's social media platform is going public. Who's investing in it after the break?
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
Donald Trump's social media platform, Truth Social, hasn't performed so well as a business. But it could be the best investment the former president's ever made. Today, investors approved a plan to take the company public via SPAC, or Special Purpose Acquisition Company. It's expected to begin trading next week under its new ticker, DJT. Those are Donald Trump's initials. And the former president's 60% stake is worth roughly $3 billion. Of course, that's depending on how the stock trades. But could it really help save Trump's fortune? Here now with more is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Charlie Grant. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Charlie, this involves a company we haven't mentioned on What's News in a while, Digital World Acquisition Corp, or DWAC. That's the shell company taking Truth Social public. It's been on a tear recently. In fact, it's giving me a little bit of that meme stock deja vu. So who is pouring money in and why?
It's like GameStop all over again. The main driver of this investment are diehard supporters of former President Trump who want to see him back in the White House, and they want to see him get this windfall you mentioned. Let's make Trump a trillionaire, one poster said. And it is based on support for the president and his brand rather than a long-term investment based on the underlying fundamentals of the social network.
How well is it performing?
Well, it's just like GameStop in that when people band together and all buy a troubled, beaten-down stock at the same time, we see some fireworks. And as markets have come back to all-time highs and that euphoria is back, we're seeing the same meme stock craze, but this time with a touch of politics mixed in.
So let's talk about Trump's finances. We've reported this week that he hasn't been able to secure a bond for a $454 million judgment against him in a civil fraud case. The New York Attorney General can begin enforcing that judgment and seizing his assets next week. So how could this SPAC's performance potentially help his financial situation? Will it be enough and in time?
Yes. Well, the thing about stocks is if they're valuable, you can sell them and turn them into cash. And Trump needs money, both because he's running for president and the additional issues that you just nodded to, such as this judgment that he needs to settle. These shares are under a lockup for about 6 months after they begin trading. So he can't do that right away. Now, there's a wrinkle here, though, because you could get a waiver from the company leadership to sell your shares sooner than that. And since this company is run by supporters of the president, it's quite possible they'd be open to that sort of thing. But even then, things get complicated because selling that big of a stake of a stock without affecting the price is very hard to do. And you have to be able to keep the price where it is to be able to monetize that stake at the price you have in mind.
And what about Truth Social as a business? It hasn't done so great as a company. What is the outlook?
It's not looking great. Their latest securities filing said they did about $3.4 million in revenue in the first 9 months of 2023, which is the most recent data we have. Operating losses were about $10 million. And then when you add in interest expense, the net loss was about $49 million over that period. So maybe this episode gives the stock a little more publicity. It's hard to build a startup in a world with big competitors like Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter, and other social networks as well. It's a crowded environment and a tough business to break into. And so the question is, where does Truth Social fit into that landscape? And so far, it's been a struggle.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Charlie Grant. Apple is working to widen its artificial intelligence capabilities. As part of that, we report exclusively that the tech giants held preliminary talks with Chinese company Baidu about using its generative AI and Apple devices in China. Reporter Aaron Tilley says Apple's been talking with a range of companies, including Google and OpenAI, as it builds out its own tools.
Apple's AI work and its AI research is challenged in some ways. It's very privacy and device centric, so it's not sending a lot to the cloud, which really limits the size of the sort of AI models they can build. And the kind of data that they can collect is quite limited too, which also limits the size and the scope of their models they're able to build. So as they try to catch up in this race for generative AI, they're building it in-house, but they're also looking at what's out there in the world and how they could potentially incorporate an external AI system to power some of their products, because they're really looking to bring generative AI to basically all their software.
Working with Baidu could also help Apple navigate regulatory hurdles in China. People familiar with the matter say Apple's been looking for a local partner there, mainly because China requires generative AI models to be vetted by its cyberspace regulator. Chrysler's parent company, Stellantis, is laying off about 400 employees in the U.S., mostly in its software and engineering divisions. That's according to internal documents viewed by The Wall Street Journal. Stellantis confirmed in a statement that it plans to reduce its engineering, technology, and software organizations in the U.S. by about 2%. It's the third round of white-collar job cuts Stellantis has made in the past year. In 2023, it offered buyouts to around 9,000 salaried U.S. workers. Car companies have been trying to rein in costs during a bumpy transition to making more electric vehicles. And if you're looking to book a trip anytime soon, you may want to consider who you and your bag are flying with. Most major U.S. carriers did a better job of handling your checked luggage in 2023 than they did in 2022. That's according to data from the Transportation Department, which keeps track of those lost, delayed, or damaged bags. But things got worse at United. The airline blamed bad weather last summer for its issues. Still, it outperformed American, which for years has brought up the rear. Among nine major U.S. carriers, Allegiant performed the best. And finally, if you're in a book club that meets online, you've probably met your clubmates in real life at some point. But some book clubs these days work the other way around. Our social media reporter, Alexa Corse, joined an online book club and wrote about her experience.
You could call it like the new book clubs. You meet online, but then you party in person once you get to know the people, and then deciding, okay, let's like become real life friends. There's a shared interest there. It's an easy conversation starter. If you know you like the same beach reads and you've read about them, that makes it a lot less scary to go than meet up with a bunch of strangers in person, because you'll have that to talk about. And obviously, this is like the promise of the internet from the beginning, but social media hasn't always led to great things. So it was really nice to take a chance to write about social media actually bringing people together in a meaningful way.
My book club came together through real life and the internet. I posted online during the height of the pandemic to see who'd be interested in meeting virtually. This was back when we were all still in quarantine. The original members were all people I knew in real life, but they also recruited their own friends, and everyone got to meet someone new. Still, not everyone has met in real life yet, even though we're hopeful about going hybrid. And a final note, an earlier version of yesterday's PM edition incorrectly referred to Dartmouth College as Dartmouth University. And that's What's News for this week. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anthony Bansi. What's News is hosted by me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. Additional support this week from Tali Arbell. Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Additional audio in this episode, courtesy of BBC Studios. Our supervising producers are Sandra Kilhoff and Michael Kosmides. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is The Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Tomorrow, you can look out for our weekly markets wrap-up, What's News in Markets. Then on Sunday, we'll be answering your questions about what's keeping food prices so sticky and how you can shop and eat smarter in What's News Sunday. We'll be back with our regular show on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.